I'm glad you're here. Christmas is underway. Our traditions are in full swing. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand. I know we stood a little bit, but turn around to somebody close to you, and I want you to share your favorite Christmas tradition that you're doing. So stand up. Stand up right now. Share your favorite Christmas tradition. Thank you. Good morning. All right. Since you're standing already, we're going to read together our passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. We're going to look at Luke 2, verse 14 today. That's going to be kind of where we springboard today. But I want us to read it together. It's a famous verse. We've read this. We probably can't count how many times we've read it. But let's together read what those angels said on that first Christmas announcement. You ready? Here we go. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, one of our favorite Christmas traditions in our family is this. This is our nativity. And I think we bought this when Emily, our oldest daughter, was about two. So it was about probably 25 years ago we bought this. You know, we've used it as a way to help our kids just get a grasp of the best gift at Christmas. You know, the way we kind of flesh this out, we would often read Luke 2, presents are around the tree, but this would be the first gift that we would unwrap. And we would articulate to our kids, hey, we want you to understand, it's not just about the presents. It's not just about the tree. Christmas is about the Christ entering the world. And so our first gift was always baby Jesus in the manger, and they would unwrap it, and it would be centered around Luke 2. It's one of our favorite traditions that we still do today, even with our older kids, even though they're all married. And now, this is our first Christmas with all of them being married. And when we celebrate Christmas, now we'll have grandkids around the tree, and we're going to keep doing this. But you know, Advent at Christmas is important for us. Last week, we looked at the joy. When Christ entered the world, he brought joy. Today, we're going to kind of dig into the truth that when Christ entered the world, he brought peace. Let's think about how important that is. He brought peace to the restless. You know, when I look at just the news this week, you can't get away from just the restlessness that I see in the world. I mean, it was cracked me up. I mean, a snowstorm came into the United States this week, and on the news it was like, catastrophic snowstorm coming across the United States, and we're going to interview this lady. And this lady was like, yeah, I hope we get a snow day. And you're like, I totally missed the headline. She's like, yeah, we're going to have snowmen. It's going to be awesome. And isn't that funny? The news article, it's catastrophic. Oh, my goodness. Run. It's called winter. And then, you know, I look at the restlessness of the world. I consider just social media, what that's brought. That here we are in this fear of missing out as we look at everybody's highlight reel. Oh, no, my family's all messed up because, man, look at what they're getting. Look what they're, oh, my goodness. We're perfecting restlessness. I think about the phones in our pocket, how it gives us the perception that we're omniscient. Do you know that we're not supposed to be omniscient? You know, we can't handle omniscience. I'm not saying we're fully omniscient, but just think about what your cell phone brings. Something happens in the Middle East and we know about it within seconds. You know, I gotta know what's going on right now. I'm disciplining myself to not know where OU plays. I think they're doing it right now. Some of you are checking your phones. But you know, this omniscience, you know what that's causing? Restlessness. No wonder we are living in a world plagued with anxiety. I mean, anxiety is plaguing us because, why? Because the world we're in is restless. But let's not miss the fact that when Christ entered the world, he brought peace in the midst of restlessness. And that's what he does. That's what Jesus did when let's think about what Christ, when Christ entered the world, when Christ entered your world, when Jesus saved me, there was strength that I found. You know, when I lean into the Lord and I recognize that I can walk with him, I can hear him, I can know him, I can interact with him, there's strength. When I think about what the peace that Christ brings, because there's a perspective. That when I understand the perspective of the world, the perspective of God, God's perspective on my life, God's perspective of me, of you. It's valuable to recognize how much you're loved by God. And this is what, when Christ entered my life, when Christ entered the world, my world, he gave me a perspective. He also gives me understanding. There's peace because God helps me understand the world, interpret the world, understand my family, understand my life, understand where I come from, where I've come from, where I'm going. There's understanding. Because of the Lord entering my life, entering the world, there's real help. There's real help for everyday life. I mean, what does God say? He gives us our daily bread. He provides for our needs. You know, there's real help. As we turn to the Lord, there's a plan for the world. You know, we don't have to worry about the plan we see unfolding as prophecy comes to pass right before our eyes. You realize when the Bible says you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, you're going to see all these things unfold. When the Bible points us to the second coming of Christ, you realize it says, encourage one another with these words. Not like, oh no! Because Christ brings us peace, that there's a plan. There's a future. You and I have a future to look forward to, even when this life ends. You know, the coming of Christ is the most, it was the focal point of human history. And to understand at Advent that Christ came into the world bringing peace is very valuable. Look back at Luke 2:14. I mean, probably you are like me. I can't count the number of times that I've read this verse. Luke 2:14, look what it says. Glory to God in the highest. That's what these angels sang. Yeah, they were saying this as the shepherds were out in their fields. And glory to God, what does that even mean? I mean, we sang glory to God. What does that even look like? What does that even mean? The best I can come up with is I don't know if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon. You ever been there? And I remember the first time I went, and aren't you grateful for that rail that's there? I was so grateful for that rail. I wasn't about to get over that rail and take a picture. There's a word for that, dumb, to do that. And I remember walking up to that rail and going, whoa. You know what that is? That's glory. These angels, this moment when the shepherds were out in their field keeping watch over the flock by night, that they said, glory to God. And what are they saying? They're going, whoa. Look at him. Glory to God in the highest. Whoa. And look what he says. And on earth, peace. You know, peace is what Christ brings. And look at the text. It says, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Another translation that I read, I think it's the CSB, says, peace among those of whom know God's favor. And this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to encounter these shepherds. And you know what it is? It's preparation for the Lord's Supper for us. Today's the day we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And this is a perfect passage to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Look back at verse 8 in Luke chapter 2. It's famous. And these shepherds, it's this moment that the shepherds experience God coming. And let's just look at it for a second and let it prepare our hearts. In the same region, there were shepherds, verse 8, out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And look what it says, they were filled with great fear. You know, like, we need to understand that precious moments, angels, that's not like a thing. That's not real. Because every time you see an angel show up, what does the angel say? Oh, hold on, it's okay. Now, these shepherds are out in their field, and it's a dark night, and I've been in the woods this hunting season on a dark night, a dark morning. And imagine the quietness of that moment, and then boom, these angels show up, and they are terrified. But look at what they say, fear not. And the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you, look what he says, good news of great joy that will be for all people. Now, there's three words I want in our hearts today. Three words I pray we remember today. Three words that I believe will prepare us for the Lord's Supper. And the first word is this, rescue. Say that with me, rescue. You know, look at this. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now the shepherds, let's understand this a little bit. Let's understand who these people are. If you were a PR agent and you were like, hey, I'm going to deliver the greatest news, the focal point of human history is here, and I'm going to deliver this message to the world, and you're the PR department, do you know who you're not going to go to first? These guys. Because the shepherds they're not the influencers. They're not the ones that everybody's going to go, well, I wonder what they think. You would go to the Sadducees or the Pharisees. These are the religious leaders of the day. You would go to the kings or the important people. But what God does is he's making a point that, look, salvation is for good news is for who? All the people. Shepherds. It's interesting facts about the shepherds. They were the outcast of Jesus' day. They were considered untrustworthy. No one grew up and said, oh, I hope I want to be a shepherd, Mom. No, you don't. No, you don't. They're untrustworthy. They were ceremonially unclean. They couldn't even go into the temple. They were ceremonially unclean. And they weren't even allowed to testify in court. And there was a number of reasons for that. They were not seen as very intelligent. They were just like the farm guys, which most of those guys that I've met are pretty smart. But they didn't have a good reputation. They were poor. They had a poor standing in society. But it was perfect for God. Perfect for us. To recognize that that a Savior came. Good news for all the people. You know, the shepherds, I think it's noteworthy of these guys. They were in Bethlehem. That's about 6 miles from Jerusalem. Now today, if you drive there, you don't, it's like going from maybe Broken Arrow to Tulsa. You don't even know where that line is. It's somewhere, but I've never seen it. But nowadays, that's what it's like. It wasn't that way back then. It was, they were 6 miles out of town. And you know, it's interesting with these shepherds. They were, at Passover, there were over 150,000 people that would come to Jerusalem for Passover. And the shepherds, these shepherds in Bethlehem, they were taking care of the ceremonial sheep. These were the flocks that were used that when somebody traveled there and they needed to buy an appropriate sacrifice for Passover, this is where they would go. And it was these guys that were watching the ceremonial sheep for the sacrifices in the temple. Think how big that is. It was these guys. That the angels would show up and go, hey, you guys, a sacrifice is coming, but it's the last sacrifice. It's the Savior. And look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Say that word rescue. Say that with me, rescue. One more time, rescue. I want that word in our hearts today. Because these shepherds are out in the field and look at what they hear. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The sacrifice is now, this is the Savior. This is the sacrifice. Rescue. There's a second word. I want you to say the second word with me. Favor. Ready? Favor. These are two words I want in our hearts today. Rescue. A Savior came to rescue. A Savior came and he showed us favor. You know, a Savior that would come. And what would he do? He would take upon himself the judgment of God. Isaiah 53 says this, that he'd be pierced for our transgressions. He would be crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that would bring us peace would be on him. And by his wounds, you will be healed. You know, this lamb, as Jesus, as the Lamb of God, this is the place in the Old Testament, that sacrificial system where a lamb would be perfect and spotless and would die for sinners, and it would be such a perfect sacrifice that it would satisfy the wrath of God. And you know, that's what God would do. Jesus would literally sacrifice his life. And we say, oh, did Jesus save us from our sins? Yes. Did he save us from Satan? Yes. Did he save us from death? Yes. But do you know the real point of Jesus coming to the cross was to save us from God? Because you know why? God is holy. And this is something that is hard for us to grasp and understand, because the word glory, it comes out of our mouth, but we really need to recognize it as a whoa kind of moment of stopping in our tracks. Holiness is the same thing. We say the word holy, but we've never experienced holiness. We've never experienced anything holy. And there'll be a day we will. There'll be a day we'll stand before God and we'll recognize the magnificence of 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And the reason that you and I get to be called righteous is because God moved us from this moment of punishment to favor. There's a fancy word for that. It's a doctrinal word. It's this idea of propitiation. That's probably not a word you've used this week. I used it this week because I was studying for this. But you know, propitiation is this very intricate, very fascinating doctrine that describes this supernatural moment when you as an individual move from this deserving of punishment, this position of punishment, and you are transformed to favor. God allows you to be in favor with him. This is what happens at salvation. That, look, your life is transformed to favor. Say that word with me, rescue. Favor. There's a third word I want in our hearts today. Security. Say that with me. Security. See these shepherds. Let's not miss where we were last week. As they experienced, look at verse 14 of chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And this morning, I want these three words in our minds, because peace is possible because God offers rescue. Peace is possible because you, when you are saved, you are moved from punishment to favor. Peace is possible because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did, there is genuine security in your life. Let's not miss last week. Luke is writing this, Luke 2, famous passage. What's he doing? We looked at it last week as Luke is writing this full scroll as he's interviewing eyewitnesses. It is likely, I don't know this biblically, I can't make this is an assumption of my part, but I know that we know from the scriptures, from what Luke recorded, that Jesus resurrected Christ appeared to over 500 people. It's likely Luke is interviewing people that were there. I mean, we know that. It's not likely, it's definitely happening. We don't know who they were. It's likely he might have sat down with Mary. Mary, tell us about this, the beginning. Tell us about these moments. I think Luke did because he gave us such a great account of Mary and the angels. And I can imagine Mary going, you know what? Let me get one of the shepherds to come. She probably called him by name. Luke just said, the shepherds. Let's have one of the shepherds come. It's likely one of these shepherds is still alive at the time as Luke's writing this. Possible. It's an assumption, but you know, if that's the case, if Luke is interviewing these eyewitnesses that were testimony to these things, and can you imagine if you were one of those shepherds, what you saw? You were there in the field when the miraculous announcement came that Jesus has come, the Savior has come. He was born today. And then can you imagine if Luke really interviewed one of these guys and I can say, I wonder if it was one of these shepherds that said, oh yeah, Luke, I got to tell you, Luke 2:52, Jesus grew in wisdom and in knowledge and in stature with in favor with God and man. I can imagine them saying, oh, Luke, we saw him grow up. We watched that little boy become that 12-year-old that spoke in the temple. That's the stories we know, But can you imagine the life that they saw as Jesus then became a man and then they watched him go into the, do these miracles that people would follow him and, oh yeah, that's Jesus. Yeah, that's the one. And then, you know, imagine the magnitude of their witness, of their experience of hearing, whether they were there or not, I don't know, but hearing the magnitude of the substitutionary death of Christ. That he went to the cross. And then the amazement that he had to experience as he heard about, wait a minute, he rose from the dead. And what if it was? What if one of those 500 were one of these shepherds that Jesus appeared to and said, hey, I'm alive. What? That's right. Those angels. Glory to God in the highest, Luke. Luke, that's right. Woe to God in the highest. That's what they said. And look, Luke, oh my goodness, that's what we saw. And we know about Christ. It was Luke. And Mary, I mean, Luke's writing this after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit now is at work and moving and leading and guiding and instructing. And so, think about the security that they had, not because of their effort, but because of what they saw Jesus do. You know, truly, it's this guy, John 14, talks about what Jesus said. And let's think about Christ entered the world bringing peace. And John 14, 27, that Jesus, right before he went to the cross, said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. What is this peace talking about? What is Jesus preparing him in John chapter 14? He's talking about the Holy Spirit that's going to come. And see, that's where we are right now in the world. You see, because of what Jesus has done, he came to rescue. That's the peace. There's peace in your life because when God shows up in your world, in your life, there's a reality of rescue. There is genuine favor that we experience called forgiveness, hope, and peace. Because I bet you're like me, and you know all the things you've done. You understand your tendency to rebellion and disobedience and unworthiness. You know, we live in a world that is showing us our unworthiness with every Facebook post that we see from somebody else. Look how unworthy I am. But God says, no, I love you. I died for you. I've blessed you. I've come to you. See, I think peace, favor, the security that we have because of Jesus. You know, our deacons are going to come and we're going to turn our face to the Lord's Supper. And as our band comes and as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, our deacons are going to be around the tables here in just a minute. I got a phone call yesterday. One of our, Chad Balthrop, who's our executive pastor here, his father-in-law, Lonnie, is one of our deacons and just faithful man. He passed away yesterday at 2:30. And so Chad is there with his family as mother-in-law's house with Londa and the boys. But you know what? The second Lonnie drew his last breath, he was with the Lord. There's peace in the midst of even that. And see, the Lord's Supper is this really important moment for us because it's an opportunity for each one of us to look back and that word rescue. That moment you're to look back on and recognize and give a glory, a wow, a whoa moment to God saying, God, thank you for rescuing me. See, this is why Lord's Supper is for believers only. It's not for, if you're lost today, if you don't know Christ today, I'm so glad you're here. But this is not for you. I would like for you to watch us take the Lord's Supper. Now, I plead with you. Before you leave today, come to Christ. Let us help you come to Jesus. But with all due respect, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you can't look at a back at a time in your life when rescue marks you, then I would ask that you watch us. Because see, when you take the Lord's Supper, it's this moment where you say, this happened to me. You look back and say, this impacted my life. It's a moment of rescue. It's a picture of favor, of God changing you. And it was the blood of Christ. It was the sacrifice of Christ that moved you from punishment to favor. And so as we take the elements today, I pray that we recognize and worship and give honor to the transformation that Jesus brought to each of our lives. Favor. Unto you, a Savior was born, Christ the Lord. Unto you, you were saved. And it's a moment that we look back. You know, it's also a moment we look right now. We look right now at your life and the security that Christ brings. Lord's Supper is a moment to internalize, to look inside and say, Lord, I want to be right with you. I want to get right with you right now. I want to confess to you my sin. And this is such a beautiful opportunity for us to really think and contemplate and confess to the Lord and return to the Lord. But there's also another thing. We don't just look back. We don't just look right now. You know what the Lord's Supper does? It causes us to look forward. To proclaim this truth that this Jesus who came the first time, Jesus said, I want you to do this. Every time you do it in remembrance of me until I come. You realize that he's going to come. And this is a moment for us to look forward in anticipation. And what this does, it moves us to a sense of urgency. And this is why I would say, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you know what? You could come to one of our deacons, even though they're putting stuff out. You go to the back, go out the room. As people are moving, you could go out the room and Casey, and there's some people out there that would help you come to Christ. But can I just tell you, there's only security in Christ. And I pray that today we take a moment to be in woe of the rescue that came to us. That we're in like this woe of this miraculous favor that only God could do. That we're in this woe of the peace that God brings, the promises of eternal life. So here's what we're going to do. If you can't make your way, our deacons are around the room, and there's stations here, two at the back, two up here. And what I'd like you to do is go get the elements and come back to your seat. Don't take them until we're going to take them together. But Christian's going to sing a song, and I'd like for you to just sit down and listen to this song, because it points to the looking back, looking right now, and looking forward. And as this song is sung, I pray that you just go to the Lord, whether it's you're listening and worshiping through their singing, or whether it's you confessing and just getting right with the Lord. But would you stand where you are? And if you are ready to take the Lord's Supper, would you go to one of our stations and get the elements and come back to your seat?
Our spotless lamb, the centerpiece on the table of the Lord for all to see. The Son of God, a sacrifice, blessed Savior, servant King, who gave his life. Oh, the bread, your body broken. Oh, the wine, your blood poured out for us. As I look to the cross, knowing what it costs, I will live in remembrance. His final breath, the work is done. Sting of death and all our fear is overcome. The veil is torn, our hearts made new, and every hope of righteousness is found in you. Oh, the bread, your body broken. Oh, to the to bring us home. He will seat us at the table by his throne, and we will feast forevermore in the presence of the glory of the Lord. And oh, the bread your body broken, oh, the wine your blood poured out.
Underneath the cup of the juice, but would you take that bread out? And you know, Christian just saying about this is a time of remembrance. You know, it's amazing to me that Jesus on that night, and when he gathered with his disciples, he took the bread and he gave thanks for it. Man. Knowing what he was going to go through, for him to give thanks. I know me. I know what I am, what I have a tendency to do and be like. You're probably like that. You probably know you. Do you know how much he loves you? For God in the flesh to give thanks for going to the cross for you? Wow. That's one of those, whoa. We're to never forget that. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you. Father, just trying to wrap our head around, our hearts around your sacrifice. Lord, trying to understand glory to you in the highest and the peace that you've brought to us. Thank you. Lord, those words seem so trite and insufficient. Lord, the best we can, we give you our lives and we just bow before you in gratitude and thanks for this sacrifice on the cross. So Lord, today we put your word into practice specifically. You say to do this in remembrance of you, and that's what we do. Remembrance of you. I love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray, amen. Would you take this bread and would you eat it? Now, as you look at the cup, I mean, it's a picture of the blood of Christ. This is not the blood of Christ. It's a picture of the blood of Christ. And, you know, Hebrews 9:22, I don't know that I would have figured this out on my own because I'm insufficient and I'm lacking in understanding and the magnitude of my own sin, because I tend to be like you and go, you know, my sin's not that big a deal. I have a tendency to justify it. But Hebrews 9:22 says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You know, I can understand, you know, maybe me dying for my sin. Maybe the punishment. You know, Jesus died. Jesus shed his blood for you. And we're to not forget this. Sin is so devastating. Even the things we think, oh, is little. Ah, oh, it's not that big a deal. God is holy. There's a moment in Scripture that captivates me. Isaiah is a prophet, and he sees the Lord. It says in Isaiah 6, chapter 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and he was exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. It says, above him were seraphs. There were these angelic creatures. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two wings, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah said, woe is me, I cried, for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, and with it he touched my mouth and said, see, your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for. You see, that's what this did. That's what the blood of Christ did. It took away the guilt of your sin. Man, that's a whoa. As we pray, I want you to pray with your eyes open. And I want you to just look at the juice in front of you. And Lord, we bow before you, though our eyes are open right now. We recognize that you have called us to remember the blood that you shed for us. And this old revelation that's older than we can even comprehend, that I believe we'll understand fully when we see you in inner glory, inner heaven. But Lord, all I know is today, I just thank you for the blood that you shed, paying the price for my sin. And Father, on behalf of our church right now, I just voice to you gratitude. And again, Lord, it feels so lacking. But Father, today we praise you for the sacrifice on the cross, the resurrection from the dead, and the power and the peace that you give to us. Father, I thank you for the rescue. I thank you for the favor. And I thank you for the security that you bring to us. Because truly, that puts us in a place of peace. So this Christmas, we remember that. Thank you, Jesus, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you take and drink? Now the disciples, after they took the supper, they sang a hymn. We're going to do that today. I want you to stand, and we're going to sing this song, Praise to the Father. We've already sung it once today. And let's really worship the Lord today, just in gratitude for what he's done, what he's doing right now as he draws us close. Let's thank him for the security that he brings, the favor that he's shown us, and the fact that he rescued you and me. Let's sing this well. Christian, lead us.
Of all who